Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 133. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. That show that was from. Yes. And guess who our hero is today? It so happened Don's been preaching a series on heroes, and today's lectionary happened to come up as Joseph, which is not one she was doing. So the story though is towards the end, and I'm going to read you that scripture now, but then we'll go back and we'll talk a little bit more about Joseph. I'm reading to you from Genesis 45, 1 through 15. Listen now to God's word to you. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for so many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be a blessing to you and your people, God. Guide my mouth and my heart in this time of worship. Amen. Joseph was probably what you would call a precocious boy, to say the least. He was a tattler. He was the youngest of 12 boys. And he often would tell his father stories about his brothers that did not make them very happy. To make it worse, he was the youngest son, the son of Rachel, Jacob's second wife, the one that he loved greatly. And so Jacob loved Joseph more than all the other boys, and he made him an amazing technicolor dream coat. And his brothers were jealous. That word Fran used, his brothers were greatly jealous. That's not often unusual in siblings, that one considers the parent loves the other more, or that they get a special toy that they particularly wanted. But it went way beyond that with Joseph's brothers. They weren't just jealous. They hated this brother with a passion. And so one day when Joseph was sent out to the fields where his brothers were watching the sheep, he was only 17 at the time. The brothers conspired. They decided they were going to kill him. But one brother said, "No, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him down into a cistern with no water." And that brother Reuben went away for a while, and when he came back, Joseph was gone. The other brothers had decided not to kill him, but to make some money from him. He sold him as a slave to Egypt, to passing traders. And they took his beautiful multicolored coat, and they killed a goat and they spread it with blood so they could take it to their father and tell their father he had been killed by wild animals. Well, as it turned out, when Joseph got to Egypt, he was sold into a good household, and he became very popular there. The owner loved him, and he took on great responsibility, and he had a good life, until the wife took a liking to Joseph. Apparently, he was a very handsome young man, and the wife desired him. But Joseph was faithful to his owner and said, "No, I can't do that. My owner takes too good a care of me, and he trusts me." So the wife, in anger, made it look like Joseph had tried to make a pass at her. And lo and behold, Joseph ended up in jail. There he met two people. Oh, one of the things I forgot when he was a boy that also angered his brothers. Joseph has dreams, dreams that foretold the future. One of those dreams was that Joseph was a sheath of wheat, and the other brothers who were sheaths of wheat bowed down to him. And another one, the mother and the father and the sons were all stars, and they too paid obeisance to him. And his father said, "Does this mean that you are going to rule over us?" And the brothers were angry, but his father remembered that. So Joseph ends up in jail for something he really didn't do, but for a malign, vicious wife. And there he meets two members of the Pharaoh's household, and they too have dreams. And Joseph told them what their dreams meant. One was that the one would be forgiven by Pharaoh and would go back into his household, but that the other wouldn't, and he would be killed. And lo and behold, those dreams came true. Well, the one who went back into Pharaoh's household heard that the Pharaoh had had a dream that he was trying to understand. Joseph had told this man, "Remember me when you go back." But, of course, once he was free, he quickly forgot. But then the Pharaoh had dreams, dreams that disturbed him and he couldn't figure out. And he remembered Joseph. And he said, "I know a man who can interpret those dreams. He's in jail." And so they came and brought Joseph. And Joseph interpreted the dreams. One dream was of seven skinny cows and seven fat cows. And the skinny cows ate the fat cows. And Joseph interpreted the dreams and said, "This means that there's going to be 7 years of great plenty. There will be so much food we can't all devour it. But there will also be 7 years of not so much, where their people will be hungry and the crops will not grow. There will be no rain. So what you need to do during those 7 years of plenty is take part of that food and store it to prepare for the future." And thankfully, Pharaoh listened to Joseph. And so they did. During those 7 years of plenty, they stored food upon food. And yes, at the end of 7 years, it ended. And the famine started. The rain went away, and there was not enough for people to eat. But because of Joseph and his wisdom and ability to understand dreams, there was enough. In fact, Pharaoh became richer because he was able to sell those stocks that they had saved to others. Well, in other lands, there were people that were also suffering, but they heard that Egypt had enough, that there they could go and get food. And so Jacob sent some of his sons to Egypt to try to buy food. Well, they arrived in Egypt, and Joseph immediately recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. And so he gave them a hard time. He did sell them food. But when they left, he packed their money that they had spent in their back and their packs on their animals. And they discovered it, and they were afraid that they were going to be accused of stealing, so they went back. Joseph told them, "I'm going to keep one of the sons here. Is there any other son? Is your father still alive?" And they said, "Well, there's one more son. He's very young. He's a late son. And my father, yes, he is alive. I want you to bring that other son here." So the brothers go back. The one son stays. And they tell their father, "This man who's selling to us wants us to bring back Benjamin, the youngest son, who was not alive when Joseph was sold." And Jacob was afraid to, because Benjamin was like Joseph. He loved him greatly because he was another one of Rachel's sons. And he didn't want to send him back. So some time passed while one son was in jail. And finally, things became so desperate. There was no food to eat. And Jacob let him go. And that's how we get to today's scripture. The sons have come back, and yes, Benjamin is there, and they've gone before Joseph. They still don't know who he is, and finally, he could take it no longer. He pulled several other tricks to try to get them, make them seem like he was getting them in trouble, but that wasn't his idea. He just wanted to get to know them. And finally, today, in today's scripture, he is so overtaken by his emotions that he has to tell him. And so he does. He says, "I am your brother Joseph that you sent into Egypt. I am still alive, and I've had a good life here. I've had some troubles. I've been in jail. I was owned and sold as a slave. But now I am the ruler, basically, of all Egypt under Pharaoh. I am like his father." And God did this for a purpose. It wasn't just you that did this. It was God. Because God knew what was coming, and this was how he could save the Israelites. And so he told them, remember that what some do for evil, God for good. There was a book some time ago called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And I think that is one of the messages that comes out of this story. We never know when bad things are going to happen, and we often wonder. There's so many things going on right now, the fires in Maui, hurricanes about ready to hit California, which apparently has never happened before. Just every day you hear of shootings and other things, and you wonder why. And you wonder where the good is in it, and where is God in it? It's so easy to cry out and say, "God, God, why?" It's not ours to question. But you know what? We can understand that in this, God can bring about some good. And you know how that good is? We can be the good. We can be the ones that are witnesses for God in the world of what good people can do, even in the face of evil and bad and things that can't be controlled. That is a message from this story. And Joseph saw that. I wonder how many of us, if our brothers or sisters had treated us like that. You hear so often of families that are broken, often from something that was pretty simple, and they never do get mended. And here was Joseph, who was so full of forgiveness. Instead of hating those brothers, he welcomed them. He was overjoyed that he could have this reunion. And I think that's another message in this story. Do we ever have somebody that we hold anger and hatred against because of something that's happened in our lives? We need to remember Joseph and how Joseph reacted. If there's people in your lives that right now you know of that you could reach out to and say, I'm sorry that we have been estranged. I've heard families where at the time of a death, there were family members they haven't seen for many, many years, people they haven't talked to. And it's sad because then it's too late. This story has so many messages for us. It has a message of God's love and God's ability to use people. But it also has a message for us as people on how we need to live and how we need to seek to be better in all that we do. God has given us this wonderful world. God has given us this wonderful community. Let us find ways as a community, but also as individuals, to reach out and touch the lives of others. And to remember, if there is anybody that we are angry at or that we're estranged from, to reach out and try to touch their lives also. We are God's people in God's world. Thanks be to God. Amen. Out into the world, look for ways that, like Joseph, you can share the generosity. Understand how we are so blessed in this country and how we have saved extra. We were blessed by God. Let us share those blessings. And remember also to not hold judges, to hold grudges. Don't hold jealousies, but share God's love, because that's what it's all about. That's what it means to be God's people, to be love in the world. So now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with us now and forevermore. Please join us for fellowship in Fellowship Hall following the postlude.